I was born January the 30th, 1917. I'll be 34
next January. So
34, what am I talking about? 84.
I knew what you were saying. So when, well, let's see if 1935 was the high point of dust activity, you would have been 18.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you weren't that young when it all started.
No.
And where were you born?
In Dewey County, Putnam, Oklahoma.
All right. I was just looking that up on a map today.
You were.
Yeah, we got some people out there we're going to talk to in a month or so.
What was their name? Could you remember?
No, I talked to Corrine Seal from the Jailhouse Museum, and she was giving us, she's in charge of finding contacts for us out there. When I find out their names, I can give you a call to see if you know any of them.
Yeah. So many of them have left, you know.
Yeah.
The parents are all gone.
Yeah.
Passed away.
Left for good reason, I guess, or just tired of it.
Well, they just grew too old. See, my folks were old.
Yeah.
My mother was in her 40s when I was born.
That was really, well, fairly old for...
Yeah, because I was the last nine kids.
Nine kids.
I had four brothers and four sisters.
And then you came along. Uh-huh. It messed up the even set.
I don't even remember my oldest sister until she came home buried.
Yeah, my mom was like that. Uh-huh. Her oldest sister came home with a kid, and that's when she met her.
Well, I remember them coming home, and I went in and got in bed with them.
That's funny.
Oh, Lord.
Well, where were your parents from? Do you know where they were from?
My mother was born in Illinois. And Dad, I think, was born in Kansas. I don't know a lot about him. But Mother and Dad, I think, met each other in Chicago, Illinois. Mother was working at her sister's restaurant there.
Huh. Your dad had traveled out there for some reason.
Yeah, he traveled out there for some reason. That's where they... Uh-huh. And then they lived in Kansas for a while. And they came to Oklahoma when... she had... a daughter and two sons. They came to Oklahoma in 1906. I've got the dresser in there that they came to Oklahoma with.
Really?
Yeah.
They brought it with them?
Yeah, you want to see it?
After we're done, I'd like to take a look at it.
And my husband, I got it. My dad let me have it. I got it, and my husband put new things on it, handles, and I redid it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Did they come by... train or covered wagon?
Mother came by train. She and the three kids. And Dad came in a covered wagon, from Oklahoma, from Kansas to Oklahoma.
1906. I'm trying to think if that was a... Was Dewey County in part... That wasn't in the Cherokee Outlet, was it?
I was born in Dewey County.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Was that in the... Was that included in the Cherokee Strip?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it was a little south of that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Huh. Okay. And then what did your dad do when he came out? Was he a farmer?
He was a farmer. And he also, later on, got him a truck, and he did hauling for people. He hauled cattle and wheat, whatever that needed to go to the markets.
Do you know what his main crop was at the time?
Wheat. And corn. We raised lots of corn.
Hmm.
And oats.
No cotton.
We tried to raise cotton one year, I think.
Well, you always got to try.
Yeah. But they were all from the north.
Yeah.
And they didn't take much of the cotton business.
Yeah.
But yeah, I picked cotton.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes, I picked cotton.
Did your mom work, or did she stay at home with the...
Well, she stayed home. She had all the work she could take care of there.
Yeah.
See, we didn't have water, electricity, or anything like that.
When do you remember getting water and electricity?
Oh, I didn't get that till after I was married.
Yeah?
Yep.
Do you know around what year that might have?
I was trying to think when... Or Bubba died, my husband, W.A. Let's see. I had three kids on the farm. And I was married in 34, or 35, because I graduated from high school in 34.
You were 18 when you got married.
Just barely.
And did you stay there in Dewey County?
Yes, we stayed there until after we had three children. And Dubs, my husband's folks lived around the corner. Now, my mother and dad had moved to town, to Putnam. Mm-hmm. And Dubs' folks and W.A. did all the farming and all of that. But now, when I grew up as a kid, see, we didn't have tractors or anything like that. I drove mules in the field and horses, worked in the field before I was married.
Was that common for the people in your area?
Oh, yeah, everybody did.
Everyone had mules and...
And horses.
And horses uh-huh. that they used, all right. Uh-huh. So I want to get back to the electricity and indoor plumbing. Or lack of.
Well, we didn't have it. I'll tell you for sure.
You were married in 1935 and you didn't have it then?
Uh-uh.
And uh-uh. Do you remember when you might have had it?
Well, let's see. Well, we moved to, we left out there. My husband and I left out there and moved to, he got a job with Phillips Petroleum in Tulsa. That's first.
Huh.
We had that.
So you made a big move.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, from Dewey County to Tulsa County is pretty geographical.
Well, we lived at Collinsville for a while and then we drove back and forth. I worked at the, when we lived there, I worked at the bomber plant during the war, the Second World War. I was a tool and die maker.
Wow, well, you've got a lot of stories, Rosie Ribbiter.
Well, my sister worked down the thing from me and used what I made in the tool and die department. I was the second woman in there. That's all the women that were in that department.
Huh.
In the bomber plant.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. And my brother worked there also.
My grandma was, I'm from northeastern Oklahoma, and... when World War II came up, and she took the kids and went to Wichita and started working for Boeing,
uh-huh.
making bombers.
See, we all did.
Yeah.
And I know there's, I should tell this, one old boy in that department, he was always trying to tell me dirty stories. I was a kid, I didn't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so one day, a guy, after he started telling that, why the guy up there working, he said, "Bert, you don't have to listen to that." Well, then one night I was walking out of the plant, and this brother by the 6'4", I think it was, and I didn't know he was behind me, but there's a bunch of little smart aleck guys shooting off their mouth about me, you know. And boy, he heard it, but he walked around there, took hold of me, his arm around me, and walked out, and they never said another word. They knew they better leave him alone.
That's a funny story.
Isn't that crazy to tell that? But it's true.
They were picking on you.
Yeah. Yeah, they was saying smart things, you know. He never would let anybody do anything to upset me.
That's good you had that guardian angel.
Yeah, I did. That's what he was.
So when did you move to Tulsa?
Oh, let's see. Tommy Jill was born in 39. It must have been about 1940.
Sometimes I just make little notes here so I can stop from repeating myself. So one of the questions we had was about kind of how you lived in, you know, when you were in Dewey County and the house you grew up in and the house you moved to. Sometimes that people find that interesting.
Well, my dad could do anything. He could build or he could tear up a machine and make it all over, you know. So I guess when he moved to down there, he bought this piece of land. Some guy had proved it up, you know.
Right.
And he bought it, and it had two rooms on it. Okay. He built, he had one room, but then the bedroom for them. He built on a big, long kitchen, a pantry on the west side, and then he built on a bedroom then on this side, and then he built two more bedrooms on the other side. And there was a porch around each one, between each one of those.
Hmm.
We had three porches. And he built a cistern. in two of those porches.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So that's where we got our water, right off the house.
And was the house you moved into similar to that one when you were married?
Lord, no. It wasn't as good as that one.
All right. Well, let's hear about that one.
Well, we moved down south of Putnam. And my husband and I used to get on horses and ride down there. It's about 10, 12 miles. But we moved down there and lived down there until we just moved back up by W.A.'s folks. And W.A. was doing a lot of farming there, what I didn't help do. And I did work in the field after I got married. But I did milking and raised chickens and turkeys and all of that, pigs and all of that. And then we lived there for, let's see, they told me it was about 4 years old when we left there.
Your first child?
No. My Jackie was born in 1936.
You had three kids on the farm?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Then after we moved to Benita, I had another one.
But you said the house you moved into was...
Oh, no, down south of Putnam was terrible.
Yeah, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, it was just an old ratty farm. We had rented that farm down there, and that's where we farmed. My husband and I farmed down there. And then it was just an old rundown. And when I had my first child, the neighbor up the street brought me a baby buggy. And I had that. In fact, she was born before the doctor got there.
Your first child?
Yes.
Who, did you have any help delivering it?
There was a girl staying there with me, and my husband had to go to town to call. We didn't have a telephone. He had to go to town.
Did that girl know how to do anything at all? Or?
One of my sisters, is all worried to death about me. She said, Barney, if something happens to you and you have that baby, you'd be sure and check to see the cord's not wrapped around her neck, around his neck.
Right.
And I did, and it was, and the little girl took it off.
Wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Sometimes people talk about when it would get really hot in the summer, they would sleep outside on the porches and things. What did you do if you didn't have any big porches out there?
We raised the windows. And see, it was out in the open, and you got more of a breeze.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I didn't have electricity for, let's see, until my husband went into appliance business, and we fixed our house with air conditioning.
Yeah. That was a big change, I bet.
Yeah. Because he worked for Phillips Petroleum in Tulsa, and then we moved over here. And he went to work for, we moved to Benita, and they had an appliance store, he and his brother-in-law. And then we moved down to Stillwater. And put in, we had a store here.
So everybody, when you were growing up, everyone in the region, everyone that, like, friends and neighbors were all farmers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was out on the farm. We lived, it was about 7 or 8 miles from our home to town where the school worked. And the first year that I started school, now the other kids all went to a country school.
Uh-huh.
And my dad got with it, and he got the school there at Putnam consolidated.
All right.
Yes. And in the first year, I think it was 1929, when I started school. And, it wasn't that late, but the first year I started school, it was a consolidated school.
Your dad felt then, obviously, education was...
Was the main thing, yes.
Right.
And he had 9 kids to educate. He made some enemies. You do that when you start changing things.
Sure, yeah. But obviously for the better.
And he had a truck that he could take the bed off of the back and put the school truck on it, the thing to haul kids, and put it on there. And he drove the school truck for. He and my brother, oldest brother, drove the school truck for a long time out in there.
Huh. Did they do it free?
Free. Bought his own gas.
Yeah. Wow. One thing I want to talk a little bit about was you said that you worked in the fields up until you were married, almost.
Oh, yeah. I did.
You worked with the mules and
horses
and whatnot.
Uh huh. And we were two. I was two. My sister, just older than I, were the last two at home then. And when we was going to go to the field the next morning before my dad put it left, he went by some people. Their name was. I don't know whether you understand me. My throat's not right.
Yeah, I can hear you real clear.
Can you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, he would go by the Bartermans and say, there was a couple boys up there, and they said, you go down and harness the horses for Marty and Midge, because I've got to have leave, see, and then come down and harness the horses for us, or the mules. And we'd go out and hitch, you know, we could hitch them up and everything.
Yeah.
And I wasn't this tall, but I stood on a three-piece Hera and drove those horses.
How funny are you, five or six?
I may have been six or seven. And we couldn't take, see, we couldn't even, they had to eat with their food in the mouth at noon, the horses did.
Yeah.
With the bit in their mouth.
Oh.
So, because we couldn't put the bridle back on them.
Yeah.
We weren't big enough.
You couldn't reach it.
No. So then at night we just pull that harness off of their rears and hang it up.
That's funny.
You all can, I know you probably can't believe it, but it's true, so help me God, every word of it.
Now, one thing, I can almost believe it. My mom worked a lot in the farm.
And,
but one thing that always fascinates me, and I might put you on the spot here, and I'm sorry, is how fondly people remember the horses and the mules they work with.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the names of some horses?
Oh, Beck and Jen. And then we always had about three riding horses. I should have saved that picture of me on a horse after I was married and had four kids at my brother's house.
You had Beck?
Beck and Jen.
Beck and Jen were the mules?
Uh-huh. Beck and Jen were the mules.
And
old Pet was a saddle horse. And if you'd hit her behind the saddle, she'd pitch. And Dad would hit her behind the saddle just to see if we could stay on her pitching.
What a life.
Yeah. And we milked all the way from 15 to 20 cows, hand milked.
Wow.
That's the reason I don't have very pretty hands.
Strong hands.
And separated.
Do you know, or could you kind of describe a typical day, maybe when you would be working in the fields? I mean, what time would you get up and breakfast and
We'd
like
get
that?
Up about 5 or 5:30. We'd go milk our cows. We'd have about 15 or 20 milk. And separate the milk, and Mother would have breakfast ready, and we'd come and eat breakfast, and then we'd go harness the horses and go to the field. And work till noon, come in and feed the horses, and eat our dinner, and go back to the field. Work till about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening.
You remember, and your mother was at the house working
house? Yeah, she could milk once in a while, but she hardly ever had to milk.
Yeah.
She had all she could do at the house.
And then your dad was out working.
Yeah, he was out working her on that truck.
And you were in the field with your sister.
Uh-huh.
And then you remember, favorite things you might have for breakfast, or what a typical breakfast consists of?
We usually had eggs and biscuits or toast or something like that.
And what about lunch?
Well, she fixes a good lunch. Because, see, we had all kinds of... We had our own potatoes. We had all of our vegetables. We raised them, and she canned them. We had there was a big dugout cellar on that place, and Dad lined it with cedar posts.
Uh-huh.
And she had that full, and she used those great big jars to can in. She didn't use these little bitty ones like we do now. She used a half-gallon jars.
Wow. 2 quarts.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And we had cherry trees and peach trees and apple trees. And we had the fruit, and then, of course, we raised all kinds of other garden stuff and raised our chickens and our turkeys and our hogs and beef. We'd butcher.
Getting hungry.
I'll tell you, that beef is a lot better than this taste you get now. And chickens were, too.
Oh, man.
And we had turkeys. We always raised turkeys. Mother always raised enough turkeys to sell to my new ex-minister rug for the living room.
Wow. All right, that sounds great.
She'd say when she got ready to go to town on Saturday and some of us kids would be there, she'd say, now don't you kids go in there and dance on that rug, and we would.
Oh, she'd do it just because she said not to, probably. So, it sounds, I mean, you you worked pretty hard in the fields.
And oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember, would you go to school? Was that during the school year, too? Or?
Oh, well, yeah, sometimes. But no, we didn't work in the fields when school was going on. We did our milking, and then we'd go catch the school bus. Because Dad had quit driving it when I, you know, started out afterwards. But we'd drive, or if it was the house, well, we'd get it there. But we always did, got up and milked all those cows and done all that before we left.
Hmm. And you said you picked cotton, too.
Yeah, one year he had cotton. And this older sister, she's crazy. We all had cotton sacks, and she picked about one row, and she threw that cotton sack down, and she said, "Now, Daddy, if you want that cotton picked, you pick it. I'm not going to." And she went to the house.
So one of those big, long cotton sacks?
Yeah.
And that was the end of that?
Yeah.
Nobody liked picking?
No.
I've never done that, but I've just heard it's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's rough. We had a guy that lived with us once, a little while. He didn't have a family, and he had his arm shot off, or he got it crushed off. He's had one arm, and he could just keep that cotton going in that sack just like that. He was really a good cotton picker.
Huh.
He's the only guy that ever lived with us extra, you know.
Kind of farmhand? Is it hired hand or something like that?
Yeah, he just didn't have anywhere else to go, and the folks kind of took him in.
Did you ever work at a job besides the farm? Until, you know, I mean, when you were young, did you have a paying job somewhere? Always doing work for the farm. Well, in your probably very few spare moments, do you remember anything that you and your sister or friends in the area did for fun?
Oh, yeah, we'd all get together and do things. You know, we had country dances, and we all went to those. And we kids at home danced a lot, too. My sister and I was weak in Charleston real good.
You dance on the rug.
Oh, yeah. We danced on the rug. And we had fun. We had picnics together. And Easter was always great. Mother would color all these eggs, and we'd take them out and hide them, you know, and then all the kids would come in, and we'd go out and hunt them. And yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Charleston was a good dance for you?
Yeah. Oh, I like to do anything in the dance line.
Did you have a radio or a record player?
My dad, one night he came in from, he'd been on a trip, you know, and came in and he hollered at us. And he always called me Margie, and Doris was her name, my sister, but she's so little when she's born, they called her Midget, and she was named Midget. And he'd say...
That's a horrible name.
When he got home, he said... Come to the door, and he hollered, and he said, "Margie and Midge, come here, I got you something." And we went in there, and he had us one of those little record players. You had to just wind it up, you know, and, that drawer over there's full of records.
Really?
Yeah, great big records.
And you would put them on?
Oh,
and
just, we, well, we they never could get us to go to bed that night. But, oh, that was pleasant. That was the most beautiful thing for us you ever heard of.
Even if you did tear up your mother's rug?
Yeah. And see, then we had a sewing machine, but she treadled it, you know.
Yeah, oh, one of the old manual.
Yeah, she treadled it. I hooked my toes under there, and I could just treadle, make anything.
So would you sew your own clothes?
Some of them. Mother, she never had a pattern in her life to sew by, you know.
Yeah, right.
She'd get a catalog and say, "You kids pick out what you want." And we would, and she'd take a newspaper and cut the pattern out.
Wow.
She was a beautiful seamstress. Well, I was a seamstress, too. I used to sew for people.
Did you ever make feed sack dresses?
Yes, all kinds of them. If I'm bad about after anything like that, for chicken feed or anything, we'd say get two, three, or four of the same color.
So you can make it?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. We wore them to school.
Do you have any of those ever? Do you have any of those that you ever saved?
No, I never saved it.
Probably wore them out.
I'm glad to get out of it. No, we was always dressed nice.
Yeah. Well, now, I've seen some examples of bead sack material, and it's not bad.
Oh, they're pretty, and they just last forever.
Right. Uh-huh. It's sturdy material.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But was there a stigma or something, you know, were you embarrassed to go in bead sack dresses?
No.
Was everyone in the same?
Yes, every one of us was in the same boat. Mm-hmm. Only a lot of their mothers couldn't sew like mine could.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
So you had dances picnics? And were there live bands or people playing music at the dances?
Well, I'll tell you, you're not a Catholic, are you?
No.
Oh, well, okay. We were at a dance, and my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, he was a violinist. And he was playing that violinist, that dance. And it was a great big barn. It was where they had used to put hay, great big tin barn. Mm-hmm. And it had big cement floors, slick as glass. And they got to where they had dances there. So we were down there one night, and I was dancing. I probably was 15 years old. I was dancing this old guy from, he wasn't old either, but this guy from, I didn't know where he's from. Anyway, he was nice looking, and I was having a lot of fun. And so he asked to take me home. And I told him yes. Well, I went over to my sister. And I told her, she was there by her husband while he was playing. And I said, I'm going to go home with so-and-so. And she says, oh, you're not. He's from Thomas, and he's a Catholic. And you're not going home with him. We didn't know anything about religion, but the Methodist and the Christian.
Right.
That's all we had there about them.
And you found out pretty quick that...
Yeah, so I didn't go.
You weren't going home with any Catholic.
I didn't know what a Catholic was.
That's funny.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Today it seems ridiculous.
Yeah. But see, we just had that in Putnam was just a little Methodist church and a little Christian church. And I used to get on a horse and ride up there 7 miles to go there.
And you said you had picnics?
Yeah, we had picnics.
Uh-huh. People just... Kids and families from the area would get together?
Everybody had a bunch of kids. And the Conleys and the Havers and I don't know who all. Conleys had 2 sets of twins in theirs. Family.
What would you have for eating at the picnic?
Oh, we'd have fried chicken, beef roast.
Okay, that's enough. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Do you ever have to help butcher hog?
I've never done that.
I have pressed lots of chickens.
Yeah, for some reason doing the chicken doesn't seem as bad as the hog.
Yeah.
For why, I don't know.
Dad and I did. I remember one time he was trying to kill one of them, but we tried to help him catch it.
See, yeah, chopping it, yeah. A chicken?
No, a pig.
Oh, yeah. So that sounds like you had, although it was hard work, and kind of hard times. You seems like you had entertainment. Yeah. I mean,
and we all did good in school. And when I was I had my sister, and then I had one brother, but he was gone by that time too. But all the rest of us gone. See, but I'd go to school and come home with the school bus, and do the chores. And if I had to practice to play at night at school, I'd get on a horse and ride 7 miles to school by myself and come back. Practice to play. I didn't think anything about it.
Just the way of life.
The way I live.
So do you remember when things began to kind of dry out and... Do you remember that? Can you remember?
Yeah, I remember. If we didn't get... Whenever you farm, you have to just depend on the good Lord or for the atmosphere, you know.
Right.
But we had lots of seasons that we didn't have very good grass or very good food or, you know, or wheat and our corn wasn't too good. Uh-huh. Dad used to grind our own corn with his truck. He had a thing that he could put on his wheel of his truck and then a grinder, and he ground our cornmeal.
Home ground cornmeal. I bet that made some good cornbread.
It did. Pretty good.
So, do you remember, like, when the big drought came in the early 30s, do you remember it being any different at all?
Oh, yeah. People were in bad shape.
Was
they just didn't raise anything, see? and we had to buy, go buy food to feed for the cattle.
Yeah.
I remember that, Dad going that.
Was your family's farming operation, was it about normal size for that area?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. We had about, I think Dad had about 350 acres, and then he rented a couple of different lands.
Oh, so more, half a section or so more?
Yeah, he did. So.
Well, was your family affected about the same as other families in the area?
Oh, yeah. We weren't any poorer than anybody else. We were just like everybody else. Was just, you know, struggling to get along.
Yeah. And did your chores or did the household change at all when the dry time began?
No, it was just like it always was.
You would, I guess, not have to work as much in the field if you weren't growing anything.
Yeah, not so much. But Dad had rented some extra pasture land also, and we had cattle there. And my sister and I would go out there over there and take care of the cattle, see that they were all right. And if we had built fence, I'd build.
Did you ever have to sell off your cows or slaughter your cows because of...
No, we sold them when it come time to sell them.
Yeah.
You know, when they had the calves, when they were all ready to sell, they had to take them to the city, Oklahoma City, so...
Sometimes, you know, I guess maybe in more extreme areas, farmers were forced to slaughter their cows or sell early.
Yeah, they'd sell them early. They had to.
So do you remember the first appearance of a dust storm coming over, or?
Well, it was just a big cloud, kind of. And, of course, we always kept our windows in tight, shut them up, keep them out of the house.
And that worked all right?
Yeah, it worked pretty good. I remember, though, after I was buried, and we had moved from this other old place down there and moved up to close to W.A.'s folks, and there was a tornado come, but it kind of tore up the house, and the guys that owned the house built a new one for us. And it was real tight. It was a brick house and real tight. It wasn't very big. But still, that dust could get in those windows some way. I don't know how it did it. And you'd find it the next morning, it'd be on things, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Was a brick house unusual for that time period?
No, there were several. Ours at home, now our house was wood, but there were some brick houses around here. Huh.
I never imagined the house being made out of brick at that time.
But it was.
So do you remember dust storms coming in on a regular basis or just one or two big ones?
No, you never know when it was coming.
Any in particular that you remember? Any?
No. Usually if we were out in the field and saw one coming, you know, or something dust, well, we'd come in.
Yeah.
But my mother always said, God love her, she said, well, the good Lord destroyed the earth, you know, with water once. And she says, it'll be by fire the next time. Well, when they had all this fire down here, and I looked at that on TV, I thought, well, Mother, are you right? I felt like it was like, yes.
I never thought of that.
She always said that. God love her. She had the prettiest voice.
Would she sing?
Yeah, she'd sing, wash on the board, hang out clothes, and be singing. You could hear her all over the country. I said to one of my sisters, I wonder why she did that. She said she did it to keep her senses.
Maybe it took her mind off the things. And, uh-huh. But she sing?
Religious songs.
Hymns and things like that?
Yeah.
Hmm. When your family was, when the drought came, depression hit hard, do you remember families moving out at all? Did you lose friends and neighbors? And did the town shrink at all?
Or? Oh, yeah, the town shrank, I think. It was just a wide place in the road to start.
Right.
You know. But, and there's out there now, excuse me, there's not any families hardly there that was there when we were there.
They all?
so they all got big implements, you know, to farm with and all that stuff, and it just was too much.
So in your area, a lot of people moved out, moved away. And you said they people brought in large, really big implements and started.
Yeah, they did. We had, now after my husband and I was married, we had the first tractor, the little tractor that they were lost there.
When you were married?
It's 35.
35. And then when did you get a tractor?
Oh, I imagine it was about 3 or 4 years after that. Just a little tractor. And my dad had the first little combine, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it a... How could you... I'm just curious. I'm going to ask how you were able to afford a tractor.
Did I? Mm-hmm. I think probably sold enough cattle to get it or something, you know, because we raised cows.
Excuse me. Do you remember what kind of tractor it was?
A little Ford. I remember something about
Fordson or something.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of people out there, their first tractors were Fordsons, which is a Ford brand. So you lost, the town and the area lost quite a few people.
Uh-huh, yeah, they did.
Maybe, would you say it was more to the depression or the drought or?
No, I just think that, I'll tell you what it was. I think the kids just wanted to get away from there and get a bigger, go more, you know, to college and all that stuff. Uh-huh. And so they just left, and of course then the old folks just see the old my mother was way in the 40s when I was born, so
right.
You know, so they were just, and my dad and mother moved to Putnam,
so they kind of moved in.
Yeah, they moved into town, and my dad was just a hauler then.
Yeah,
because after I was gone, see, they moved.
They didn't. They never considered leaving the area.
No. That was just their place.
They've been there too long.
Yeah. And everybody in the country knew Bill Barr. That was my dad's name.
Yeah?
Bill, he was William Wesley, but everybody called him Bill.
B-A-R-R?
Uh-huh. And they used to call my sister, just older than I. The rest of them were all, my brothers were all, my dad was all 6 foot, over 6 foot, and my sisters was taller too, only just the last two. And we both had bright red, dark hair. It was the reddest hair you've ever seen. And we were known as a little red-headed barbers. Everybody knew us by that.
Riding on the plows.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to stack wheat, too, when we just had a regular binder that they drove horses with.
Yeah.
In fact, I used to ride the lead team on those tractors. On those combines or whatever it was.
Yeah, the horse pulled binders.
Yeah, it pulled the binders and tied the that, and then we'd get out and stack that. It was stacked, see that?
Right, right. Then they'd come through and thresh it.
Thresh it, yeah.
But then your dad, you said he had the first combine in the area, which did it all together.
Yeah,
right?
It was later on. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. Those.
It was just one of those small ones, you know, he just did it.
Right.
He didn't get out and do that kind of stuff.
But still.
Yeah, he.
Pretty kind of progressive thinking.
My dad could do anything. He could build a house, or I remember he had a truck one time, and it would pull up the hill, because we lived down this real low in hills, you know, and it was down on the bottom. And we'd have to hook horses onto that truck when he pulled out a load of cattle or something. I'd run along the road and drove that while he was pulling that up the hill.
You'd drive the
horses on? And one time he got a truck and he tore the engine up in it or whatever it was. I don't know what, but he put what that was called a jumbo in it where he could shift to make it go fast, a battery. You know,
oh, right.
Give it more power.
Right.
He tore it up and put it back together himself.
So. Maybe a lower gear.
Yeah, lower gear or something. I don't know what.
Man, I got jack of all trades.
Yeah.
You're a lot of the people, and this wasn't in our questions, but a lot of the people we've been talking to have vivid memories of kind of hobos and tramps coming through the area and doing work and looking for food. Do you remember anything?
No, I don't remember any of them coming through. And, you know, we never had a lock on a door. We never locked a door.
Yeah.
And Mother and Dad would go after my sister and I was home alone. They'd go just wherever they needed to go and never worried about us. Everybody helped everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, if some woman had a baby, mother was there to help out with it. And we all did that. They all did that. If someone got sick, he was there to help out.
A real sense of community.
Yes, it was.
Do you think the drought, the depression tightened that sense of community, or did people move away and it loosened up?
No, they didn't move away too much.
No, so it didn't really change that.
The same people that when I was born were still living there, you know, the families, until they just all died off and the kids got married and left. And I think that's what we decided to do. Because W.A. was just helping his dad all the time, and he knew he was never going to have anything of his own.
Right.
So he got this job with Phillips Petroleum in Tulsa, so he moved.
At the time that you moved, you were 18 or 19? No, you lived there for 4 or 5 years.
See, I had 3 kids by that time.
Right. Were you glad to get out?
I was, in a way. I hated to leave my mother and dad, but I was glad to.
And he came home and said, we're moving to Tulsa. Yeah. You were like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, we had to go to Collinsville because we couldn't get anything. But we finally bought a house there in Tulsa.
Yeah.
We lived on North Garrett Place.
Huh. Do you remember, I know, like, the Dust Bowl in the 30s really divided, it seems like, that people had opinions one way or the other about Roosevelt and his New Deal policies and whatnot. Do you remember any of that ever kind of coming into your parents' lives? I mean, what they thought of it, of Roosevelt? Or,
well, I don't know. My dad was he was a real Republican.
Oh.
And W.A.'s dad was a Democrat. Of course, my dad was from the North and W.A.'s dad was from the South.
Yeah, your dad came in from Kansas.
Yeah. And boy, when they were going to be at the house together, W.A. said, for God's sakes, don't anybody mention politics.
Did his dad come from Texas?
His dad, I guess. They came from down in there somewhere.
That's two different worlds.
Yeah, they were just as different as you can. Because no one ever smoked in our house. At all. If the boy smoked, and Dad didn't smoke, but if the boy smoked, they smoked out on the porch.
Yeah.
And Dub smoked, it was just all over the house. See, it's just different.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Kansas Republican.
Yeah.
Not smoking. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I'm just assuming his view of the new Roosevelt probably wasn't very high.
But now, as far as my dad taking, I know there is a say you hear about, did we accept stuff from the government and so forth? No, we never did. He would have taken a dime. What he had, he bought. He did it himself.
Yeah. Do you remember a time thinking when maybe it came close to, like, when you as being younger, you thought, why can't we take some of that food, or why? And were you ever in that much need of assistance?
We always had all we could eat, and always had good shoes and clothes to wear.
Well, it sounds like you guys did all right.
They were beautiful clothes, you know, outlandish like people now, but they were good clothes, and we were clean. Our house was always clean.
You did a lot of house cleaning?
Yeah. Not a lot, but my mother, I don't know, she just did. She didn't have anything electric to do it with. She never had electricity till after she moved to town after I was married.
Man.
No water, but she drew it up out of a cistern.
The cleaning must have gotten a lot harder after when the wind and dirt.
Yeah, it was, but she kept it out.
Huh. Well, if that period, you know, growing up out there, one of the things we have here is kind of what's your most vivid memory or one of your, you know, something that sticks out in your mind as a not necessarily a good thing necessarily, but something that was important to you, an important event or something that.
I think they taught all of us kids to be truthful and take care of ourselves and not hold our hand out for handouts.
Yeah.
Now, they just never did. And mother and dad was always, I never had mother and dad or anybody or seen them slap one of the kids or anything. But we minded. We respected them. We did go to the table and say, I don't like this food, because they had that. He said, you just get up and leave the table if you don't like it. He said, he called mother, her name was Mildred, he called her Billy. He said, Billy's worked all day on this, and you just hush. And they never even obsessed him.
But now, it sounds like somebody at one time or another said they didn't like that food.
Well, they may have, but they didn't voice it very loud, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Because he'd probably shake his head that when they knew they better shut up. But he never whipped anybody.
Right, he didn't have to.
No, I've seen him wrestle. You know, the boys, the older boys would hear him wrestle.
Because
he was all about 6 foot. And mother would say, you guys are going to fall a sister. Put that out there on the porch and wrestle, you know.
Just in fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how it was. It's fun.
Well, we didn't really go over your schooling very much at the time. I was wanting to get back to that and I forgot. What was your school like? Was it did you sit in a lot of different grades in one room, or did?
No. Now see, the other kids all went to a country school, but the year I started, my dad had got consolidated, and. So I never did sit in. They may have been 2 grades in one room, but that would be all.
Kind of a modern, school setup.
But we didn't have indoor toilets or anything like that. I can still see. Well, we still have school reunions out there every once in a while.
That at the same school?
Yeah, big auditorium, and. My older boys was all basketball players, and my two sisters, two of the sisters were basketball players. This one that's down here in Texas, still alive. She played basketball. She's right at 6 foot or so.
Wow.
She's 91.
The Putnam, Putnam City Public School, is that what it was? So your parents instilled in you a sense of kind of self-reliance.
Yes.
And not accepting, you don't need to accept handouts.
Make it. And I will guarantee you we did. We Deb and I got borrowed $10 and got married. And we haven't asked anybody for nothing. What we've got is ours, and we pay for it.
And what would you attribute that to?
We were taught to work. And not go out and use a credit card and get deep in debt like the kids do now.
Right.
We paid for what we could get and paid cash.
So, at the time, did the Dust Bowl or the drought, the depression, did that make any lasting marks on you at all? I mean,
No, really, it didn't, because we knew what we had, we knew what we could do, and we didn't expect anything greater. And we've all advanced real good. Yeah.
All right. Well, is there any last memories or stories you want to talk about or tell?
I don't know, some of them I don't. No, we did. We just had a good, I feel like, I thank God every day that I had the raising that I did. I was taught to raise and respect and be nice to people.
Sounds like your parents were pretty good people.
They were. And I never remember seeing my mother and dad fight about anything or anything like that. Of course, they may have had a few, but...
Your memories differ from your older brother and sisters? I mean... The way you recall growing up and your parents, and is that different than how your older brothers and sisters remember things? I mean,
I don't know whether it is or not, but when I talk to my sister down here in Texas, we talk each Saturday, about an hour, because she's alone and so am I.
Yeah.
And we just laugh and cut up and talk about everything. It's just everybody out there was in the same boat we was. We didn't know any different.
That's a good thing to talk about. Do you remember any families that were poorer than you, like going to school with people who maybe didn't have shoes, or families that were richer than you?
Oh, yeah, some of them were richest, but I really didn't notice it. We always had, our dad used to go to town and buy 4 or 5 pair of shoes. Those, when they used to call those nickel shoes, I'm used to old for young for that.
Yeah.
But we always had good shoes and everything to wear and clothes. We was always clean. Mm-hmm. No, I think my mother and dad just kind of taught us how to live with what we had to live with.
Right.
And we weren't lazy. Any of us weren't lazy. You know, I could stand the work I have done now. This is getting off of that subject, but now I have the work I've done. And I used to, I worked at Stillwater National Bank for a long time. And now I could stand anything if a kid could understand how to work, because I was a head bookkeeper and all that stuff, and do things. You know, you could have time to talk with them and help them. But if they're lazy, I don't have any. I just don't have any feeling for them.
Yeah.
Lazy people. I just don't know what it is.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like trying to think of the word for it. Industrious attitude.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, mm-hmm. it was something that was instilled yeah. deep in you from your parents.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And because you were brought up that way.
Yeah. And if something didn't work, we'll stop and fix it.
You right. know,
not just run and get a new one. Stop and fix it. Work with it.
Hmm. So you don't really recall any big difference? I mean, you remember some families maybe were better off a little bit?
Well, some families were able to manage better and do different, yeah. But they were all just practically like we were out there.
Hmm. Well, all right. I have a question, and this, I was talking to a man and his wife out in Woodward the other day, and he said that his fondest memory of that time, and he was really poor, and they were poor, was when his dad saved up some money and bought the family a cold orange soda.
Oh, for crying out.
And it was a hot summer day, mm-hmm. and he took a drink out of that and thought it was just the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And that's his memory more than anything else that comes back.
Uh-huh. And of course, you know, we didn't go to town and buy ice cream cones. We milked the cow, and we had a freezer that we turned and made our own ice cream.
Yeah.
Dad would bring home Saturday evenings. He'd bring home about 50 pounds of ice. And we had a big 2-gallon ice cream freezer. And he'd chop that up and butter and stir up this ice cream. Boy, it was good. And we'd freeze that, and we'd eat most of that. And then we'd freeze it in the freezer Sunday.
You'd make 2 gallons of ice cream on Saturday and eat it all.
Yeah. That was for fat.
Well,
I'm fatter than anybody now. No.
And then Sunday you'd turn around and make 2 more gallons.
Yeah. See, we had our own milk, our own cream, and all you had to buy was sugar.
Yeah.
And vanilla.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. I'd like to thank you for your time.
Well, that's all right. I don't know if you get much out of it or not, but I still thank God for the raising I had.
Now, you were telling me about your wedding a little
bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and so I just took my school books and sold them so I'd have some money. And I'd always heard, if you was married in brown, you'd live in town. So I got, it was a real light brown piece of stuff. And I made me a little dress. I made it myself.
Your treadle machine?
Yeah, on my treadle machine. Mother's treadle machine. And then Deb and I went to Arapahoe and got married.
Borrowed $10?
We borrowed $10 from his granddad and we got married.
And you ended up living in town?
Yeah, later on.
Uh-huh. You went where and got married?
At Arapahoe, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh. And
we didn't have a big wedding or anything like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you sold your school books, bought mm-hmm. material, made your dress,
yeah.
borrowed $10, and
yeah.
You were good to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents and his parents go to the wedding? And
no. We just took off one afternoon and went.
Did they know you were going to get married?
No.
Did they care when you came back and you were married?
They figured out that's what it was. I think Mother had already figured it out. I made that dress.
She knew you were making your wedding dress. Yeah. Uh-huh. But she didn't say anything about it.
No. Oh, no. She wouldn't say anything. They let us make our own decisions.
And stand by them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We did, too.